promised land if they live righteously.
It is time for another episode of the Cultural Hall, and it is a Temple Ticker episode. Back from the land down south, the Pharaoh himself, Corey K. Ward, welcome to episode 800 of the Cultural Hall.
Wow. Yeah.
Welcome back. As part of the 800th episode celebration and the fact that it is a Temple Ticker, I have a treat for you. You have not heard this before. No one else has heard this before. I took a moment and spent some time on the internet the other day, and I thought, you know what? What better thing for this celebration than this song? And I'm hoping that I did this right and that you can hear this. Wait for it. Come on.
And to pray
for the temple is a house of God, a place of love and beauty. I'll prepare myself while I am young. This is my sacred duty.
So anyway, I spent I gotta get it exactly right. It's like The name of the band is Rock-O-Matics, but the name of the album is like Janis Cap Perry's Alternate Universe or something like that. And it's
I used to listen to it, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. It's on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. And the picture. So I'm good friends with Stephen Cap Perry, one of her sons. I said, did you know about this? Because there's this picture of Janis Cap Perry with an electric guitar, and she's just, you know, looks like she's jamming out. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, she posed for that picture. This was before
AI
could just create pictures of people doing whatever you wanted them to do. So she's aware that song is a little sped up by the Rock-O-Matics, but it may very well be the theme song of the Temple Ticker as we move forward. So welcome back. You were in Mexico. How'd that go? You were down there for a temple open house?
Yeah. Well, primarily I was actually down there to see the solar eclipse totality that happened the day after General Conference. And so, hence, I was already down there.
And most people would have gone to like Cleveland, Ohio, or they would have gone to Austin, Texas, but you doubled down and said, Mexico is where I'm going.
Yeah, it was on the shore of Sinaloa in the city of Mazatlan. It was the first place where the solar eclipse, the totality, could be seen. And so I had to get down there.
And did you call friends and say, first? Oh, are you guys just barely watching the total eclipse? Oh, I saw that like hours ago. Moved on. New post on Instagram.
There was a group chat, I have to say. Yes.
Okay, so how? Let me ask you this about this, and I know that it's not a Temple Ticker necessarily subject. Is it as cool when it occurs again? Do I need to go? I've never done the totality. Is it as cool as they say?
It is breathtaking.
Yeah,
it really is. And like even 20 minutes afterwards, my hands were still shaking. Huh. Like my hands were clammy. And yeah, I just, it gets colder during the day. All of a sudden it feels like it's about the sun setting. You just feel like this cool breeze going by, and everything gets flatter. The colors aren't as like vivid or anything. And then once it happens, it's just, you see the moon, you see the sun, corona around the moon, you see the little red beads everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You see everything get dark, the birds started to roost, started to lay down for the
mm-hmm.
night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I was lucky enough to go on the top of a hill. There's a lighthouse in Mazatlan where you can go up and see that. It's a like a kind of a large hill on the shore of the town. And so they limited to only like a few hundred to go up there. And I was lucky enough to sign up to do that. There's a bunch of astronomy students from all over the country doing that. They knew a bunch of stuff. They had telescopes where you could look at everything in detail.
Cool.
Yeah, it was amazing.
All right, all right. I'll go to the next one. It's not.
I think it's in Spain. So
yeah, yeah. The next one here in North America is not for like 20 years, I want to say, but I'll go. Yeah,
it'll be in Utah at least. So,
but yeah. I'll go. I'm Easy going. Trip. I'll go. I'll
you have go. To go at least once in your life. If not, it's not complete.
I got a little bit of it when it was like 5 or 6 years ago. We got the glasses.
It's not the same though.
To see most of it.
99% is not the same as 100%.
Okay. All right.
I guarantee
all right.
it.
I mean, A's, A, an A is an A, but I get it. 99% to 100. We have lots of tempo stuff to get to. Who knows if we'll get it to all of it because this is your first time back after the, you know, the whole, we're going to announce a bunch of tempos at General Conference, which we did a pretty good-ish job. I know that there were a couple that people have written me about and said, that's not accurate what he said. So maybe you can make some corrections as far as some of that.
You guys did a good job. It was
Thank
mostly
you.
Correct. I would
and
say.
It was immediate.
He had a, He had an A minus, you know.
We focused on immediacy over accuracy, and I think we did a pretty good job about immediacy. And as you pointed out, 99% is not 100%, so some work to do on the other part. Where do we start then? Are we at Redcliffe's temple? We're going back a bit.
Yeah, let's look at the temple dedications that happened.
Let's do it.
Yeah, the Redcliffe's Utah Temple in St. George, the second one in St. George, was dedicated. Right now, they're calling it St. George's, the city with the oldest temple and the newest temple, which will change in about a couple days in the Philippines. But yeah, President Henry Banger is down there. He has connections to the area because his great-grandfather, Henry Eyring the First, one, settled the region in southern Utah. I don't know exactly where, but so yeah, he has at least that connection. Yeah, I think someone else also came. I can't remember who it was, but there's going to be 20 stakes assigned to this temple. Basically, if you live east of I-15, you'd be assigned to this temple. If you're in Hurricane or Kanab or whatever, if you're west side, then you continue to go to St. George.
Now, 200,000 people went to the open house?
Yeah, which is actually only about a third of the people that went to the St. George because that was only a few months before. But 200,000 is like the population of Washington County. So you can imagine still a lot of people visited this temple.
I heard they mandated it, actually. If you wanted to live in the county, water-wise plants, and you had to go to the Redcliffe's temple dedication. That still seems like a lot. I mean, but knowing that St. George had 600,000, I guess it just still feels like a lot. 200,000 feels like a lot.
And also Chris West, he messaged me. He found something that I didn't find in some of the articles. He talked about possibly if maybe Jeffrey R. Holland chose the name of this temple.
Okay.
In the church news story, it basically said, I don't know, it says they were going through the, I think, Pine Valley, and they said they mentioned the possibility of Red Cliffs being a name for the temple. And so I don't know if he just came up with that or if he that was already under consideration and they were talking about that. I bet probably Virgin River Temple was probably another option.
Sure.
Probably Washington Fields was another option, I would assume. But it seemed like President Allen had influence over the naming of this temple. So
I'd love it if, and I know it didn't go like this, but I'd love it if it would go like this. Hey, Jeff, what should we call this? Redcliffe's. Redcliffe's it is. That's how I wish. I mean, I know it can't be, or maybe it can, and we don't even know that that's how it goes, but just that casual, what would you like to call it, Jeff? Redcliffe's. Let's call it Redcliffe's. Okay, so dedicated, it's the newest.
189 in the church and 17 in Utah.
Okay, so we're 11 away. Do we still don't know the 200th yet?
Not quite. We'll talk about it a little bit later.
Okay. So then we go to Manti. I had the opportunity to go back through. Did you go through?
I did, yeah. I was one of those people that waited in line 2 hours to see it.
And how cold was that?
We were really lucky. We went on a Friday before it got all rainy during the weekend. So
okay.
That was good. My mom and I left my dad there to wait in line, and we walked over to the cemetery to look at all the graves and everything. So that was a good break. At least we saw a lot of people that like claimed that they worked on the temple. the old temple presidents that were there. And so, yeah, that was interesting.
And when you came back to line, did your dad say, back of the line? Get back there, back of the line. No
people
butters.
In front of us probably were thinking that.
Yeah, no
but
butters.
Yeah, I mean, it was worth it. I think what I visited the Vatican back a few years ago, and I think it was a pretty similar experience. I felt like
really
just touring through this building, seeing everything, waiting, looking at the details, sitting in the mural rooms, just sitting at the in the assembly hall, just super big. Good views from the windows. You could see the whole valley. You could see all the way to Ephraim. Yeah, it was a really great experience. I really liked it.
It surprises me when I think about that they were talking about renovating that building. And I think the original idea for renovation would have basically gutted that temple.
Oh, yeah.
To think
they
that
said they were going to
if they were actually going to do it. Yeah, it just would have been mind blowing. How much would have been lost if they would have done that? That's what I just kept thinking about when I went through.
And that's what the people of Manti were concerned about. So they let their voice be heard, and it was heard. So speaking of visitors, 230,000 visitors toured this temple in just the 3 weeks.
Jeez.
The Redcliffe Temple had 6 weeks open house. St. George was like 2 months. This is just 3 weeks. So the population of Sanpete County is only 30,000 people.
Yeah.
And so you had an extra at least 200,000 people come from outside the valley to see this temple.
Well, and I got to think that some of those people from San Pete went a couple of times, but still 230,000 is nothing to shy at. That's pretty incredible. And 3 weeks, I feel like, is the right amount of time, right? Temple's built. Come on in. We're going to keep these doors open. Let's go open this thing. Let's go.
Yeah, it was previously announced. They didn't announce who would be rededicating it. And then they said, hey, it's going to be Elder Rasband. But then psych. On the day of the rededication, President Nelson showed up to the temple. And so it seems like, I think that was the plan all along, but I don't know if it was in the cards just because of his mobility and health. And so, but
I'm sure
it was,
right?
It was there. Yeah.
They had to say, here's who it is. And then, man, you get up that morning and who knows? And that's how I feel like his health is, touch and go. It is, how are we today?
I'm pretty sure the same thing happened with the Heber of groundbreaking. They didn't announce who it was, and then all of a sudden, President Nelson showed up. And yeah, he has all four of his grandparents lived in San Fe Valley, and so this is kind of his ancestral home where they came immigrated to Utah. And so it was really, I assume it's really a special place to him for him. And of course, you can read the dedicatory prayers for each of these temples on the Church News. So if you're interested in what they say.
And then we get into some temple open houses. Puebla, Mexico. Is this the open house you went to?
I did, yeah. So the city I went to for the eclipse, I didn't want to stay there that long because just hotel prices were crazy, flight prices were crazy. So I took an overnight bus to get there. And the same day, I took an overnight bus to leave. And so they're much better than an airplane seat, I would say. It was much easier to sleep on these planes or on these buses than a plane. But yeah, so a couple days later I took a bus, overnight bus to Puebla. And yeah, I went to this open house. They started it, I think, March 25th. They ended it April 20th. When I showed up, it was 9 a.m. It was right in the morning. So it was pretty dead. There wasn't a lot of people there. When I left, there was a bit more. There was like a mission reunion happening and everything. But when I got there, it was just me and this other lady that just came from the city to see the temple, member of the church as well. And they had two tour guides just kind of accompanying us through it. So it was very interesting because there wasn't a lot of people there at the time. Every room, even the dressing rooms, had someone to explain what happens. Be like, this is where you put your shoes before the ceiling and everything. Yeah, just really unique that you had someone just waiting there to tell you. We even like stopped, like, oh, we're gonna stop in the bathroom. Do you need to go to the bathroom? And of course I did use the bathroom because I wanted to see it. And this temple has
lean over. I don't actually need to go. I just want to see what this looks like.
I just want to see the bathroom. And you know what my dirty secret is that I try and take a picture of the inside of a temple every open house I get to. So
you're not supposed
which
to
is
do
against
that.
The rules, I know. But I went to the bathroom and I took a selfie in there because I was alone.
But you can't share it anywhere. It's just for you.
Yep. But even the bathroom has this blue talavera, which is kind of like this pottery tile. I think they're called azulejos. You see this a lot in Puebla, so it's very fitting for the city, for the design. But you see these blue tiles all over the baptistry. There's a fountain outside, all over the tile floor and everything. The whole temple's kind of like a Baroque, it's known, a Baroque aesthetic. So I really like that. What I really liked about the tour is that we could just stop and kind of look at the details and ask questions. When we went into the baptistry, the guy was like, "You guys remember the church, right?" And so then he had it's like, "Hey, let's look at the paintings. Let's look at like who's on here. Yeah, this is a painting of Jesus being baptized and everything." And then there was a painting that I had not been familiar with, which was of the like the in the Holy Land. It had the Jordan River, and everything. He's like, let's look at this painting and see all the animals that we can point out. And so we spent like probably 5 minutes or more just like pointing out all the animals that we could see. We noticed that there was a dove right above the water. And he's like, "Wow, I never noticed that. Like, it's actually probably representative of the Holy Ghost." And so it was just a fun little moment that we weren't rushed going through the baptistry. It was like, "Yeah, let's look at the paintings and everything." There's a really cool painting of a volcano in the lobby, which Puebla is right next to the volcano El Popo. It's like Popocatépetl or something like that. It's a pretty famous volcano in the Mexico City region. And so it's just really cool to see all that.
I think it's fascinating to see how different tours of temples are, like Taylorsville, which I know we're going to get to here in a minute, but like Taylorsville, it's like, "Hi, come in, read the signs and keep moving." And then when I went through Manti, it was like, "If anybody has any questions, and we'll stay here as long as you'd like, and we can be able to point out and all the things." And then when I went to the Helena Montana Temple, it was, "Hi, welcome. And now we're going to turn to this person to tell us about this person, or to this, tell us about this part of the temple." And then they would continue to be our guide. And then they would come around and they'd be like, "Is that what you think, David?" And then David would be like, "Well, welcome to the baptistry." Like they tried to do it like this, like handoff
Yeah, I
kind
think
of
this is a pretty
tour to the
similar
thing.
experience that I had in Puebla. Yeah.
And now you speak Spanish, so I'm assuming it was all in Spanish.
Yeah. Although they said English speakers are available here to give you a tour if you need it. So, but I
Okay.
preferred to listen to them in Spanish. But
In your non-native language, for sure. So I queued it up. Taylorsville, open. Don't go near 4700 South in Taylorsville if you want to get anywhere anytime quick until this temple opens. What's significant about that? Not the road, about the temple.
the temple. I just really like that temple uses kind of that pioneer Victorian aesthetic that we see in the Salt Lake Temple as well as the Provo City Center Temple. It reminds me most of the Provo City Center Temple. Just the furniture goes back to that Victorian age, the chandeliers, the celestial room looks a lot similar to that. Have you gone through this yet?
I have not gone through it yet. I have tried two times, but because it's so close and because my schedule allows it, if I go, "Hey, I'm gonna," oh, the line, I'll come back.
Yeah, go first thing in the morning on a weekday. That's the
Okay. All
thing.
right.
The Church News had an article about how actually a group of Jewish leaders in Utah were together in this open house, and they said they just stopped in the one of the ceiling rooms, and they all began to sing. So that sounds like a really special moment.
Yeah, that story is pretty cool. And you can find a link to all of these things and that particular story in the show notes associated with this episode. It sort of snuck up on me, although I know we talked about it, but when Taylorsville was open and then I see a picture of my brother up at the Layton, Utah Temple, he's like, "Yeah, going through, gonna check this out." So Layton as well.
Yeah, that also opened just a week later. And so they're going to be open basically at the same time. Taylorsville extends through May 18th. Lay-in will be until June 1st. If you wanted to double dip, just go to both. You could go to two in the same day. They're that close. What I really like about the Lay-in Temple is that in the baptistry, they have some paintings that actually come from the Carson, Alberta Temple right above the doors in the baptismal font.
Now,
So.
what's this? Now, obviously, these are copies. They're not the actual paintings. But what is the connection between Leighton and Cardston, or is there, or does it just make sense to have that work there, or why?
I think they just scanned these paintings in Cardston, and they're just starting to use them in other temples. That's what I've seen. Some of the older temples, they use some of the similar original artwork to adorn these ones. They also have a, I think near the entrance to the dressing room, they have a stained glass that got purchased from the United Presbyterian Church in Armenia from New York City. And the church was torn down in 2015, but the church bought this stained glass and is now using it, which is something similar we've also seen from other temples as well. The church buys these old stained glass from these old buildings and reuses them in the temple.
That's pretty awesome.
The Leighton Temple has more of a modern aesthetic, I would say, although it has kind of the Gothic windows, the arches. They pay homage to the architectural or the agricultural heritage of Leighton, with some of the seedling motifs and the cherry blossoms and stuff like that. So yeah.
I also heard that if you look on the placard in the front of the Leighton Temple, that there is no tea. In homage to the people around, that it is the Leighton Temple. No, that's just what I heard. Okay, the internet will tell you anything.
I'll have to verify.
Yeah, thank you. Get back to me on that. We got one more open house, and then we'll take a quick break and get to some dedications and groundbreakings and all the things.
Yeah, the Coban Guatemala Temple opened up this last week. It's going to extend through May 11th. It's one of these small temples that's pretty similar to Helena or Cape Verde, which we saw last year, with the baptistry with the tiny little oxen heads pointing out. We have the ceiling, the endowment rooms that can also be used for ceiling rooms because they have those knee pads all around the altar, so they can have that flexibility. It's a kind of a Spanish design, but on the inside they use a lot of patterns that are patterned after local textiles that people make in Coban. So yeah, this is a pretty isolated spot in Guatemala. Only a few stakes will be attending this temple, but I think it will be well used.
You say that the name of the temple is written in Spanish, and then what is the other language that you
I think it's there? Pronounced Quechi,
okay,
which is kind of a Mayan dialect that they speak, that a lot of people speak actually in this part of Guatemala. So,
man,
in the sign of the temple, it also is written in that. So, I like that.
Would you ever go to something like that? I mean, you don't speak that language, I would presume, and just be able to like hear it. There's something to that about me, for me. Like it's why I also like missionaries' testimonies in the languages that they served. And I think it's fun when they serve Latin-based languages, but I think it's way more fun when it doesn't sound at all like a language that I'm used to. And I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
Or I guess I focus more on how I feel or something. It's just, it feels completely different when I have no idea what they're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I actually did serve in the northern part of the Yucatan Peninsula, which there was people that spoke Mayan there. That's what they call it, Mayan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a branch where the majority of people actually spoke that, even though they mostly spoke Spanish to me and in church. But some people always made sure to bear their testimony in Maya. And even once we were eating lunch in one of the members' house, they were just speaking Maya to each other. So my companion and I just started speaking English to each other. And they're like, hey, we don't understand what you're saying. And I'm like, well, we don't understand what you're saying. So
let's all come back to Spanish, everyone. Let's all come
That's
back.
That's right.
Funny. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back in the second half, like I mentioned, we've got some dedication and some groundbreakings. I'm excited about, a groundbreaking in specific, but also we get some sights of where they're going to be. And geez, just so much. I keep scrolling down. I just keep scrolling and there's more and more. Let's take a break. Come back in the second half of the Temple Ticker.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
bestdjinutah.com is the website. That is where you go if you would like me to come and DJ your event. Now, will I do a family reunion where you all wear the same t-shirts? You bet I will. Will I travel to wherever you're at? Uh-huh. Am I reasonable as far as what I cost? Yes. Yes. Do I bring a good time? Yeah, all the things. Listen, Best DJ in Utah, it's my company. It's a thing I do that allows me to be able to have the time to do the cultural hall. So if someone's getting married, you think, man, they need a great DJ. You're throwing a party, whether it's a 50th or 60th or 40th or 20th or whatever the party is. I've done them all and would love to be able to do that. An anniversary party, certainly done those. I did a baptism in 2023. Yeah, we did a big dance party at a baptism. Spoiler, not a Mormon baptism, but it was fun nonetheless. BestDJInUtah.com is a website. I will get back to you within 24 hours with a quote. Come on now. BestDJInUtah.com.
Hi, friends. Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. You can get a brand new PC Laptops desktop, and they start at only $29 a month. And it comes with a lifetime warranty. Just check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com.
All right, here in the second half of the Temple Ticker, we are going to get right back into it as we talk about dedications announced. Where are we headed first?
Yeah, two more dedications were announced for the fall. The Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania Temple will be dedicated on September 17th by Elder Uchtdorf. They'll have an open house from August 16th to the 31st. And then Mendoza, Argentina, they'll have a dedication on September 22nd, just a week later. And they'll have their open house from August 22nd to September 5th. So that puts us up to 198 temples.
Okay.
And so only two more until we have the dedication of the 200th temple. And so it's possible that some of these are skipping lines because the Casper Temple was originally announced for after these two. So there could be still a little bit of, I don't know when these will be scheduled, but we basically have the Tallahassee Florida Temple up, the Salvador Temple finished, the San Pedro Sula Honduras Temple, the Desert Peak Utah Temple is getting close. So I think either those four could be the number 200.
I want you to pick one. What's 200? Go.
Salvador to Brazil, I would
okay.
say.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
That's my guess.
About that. So we got Pittsburgh, that's 197, and Mendoza is 198.
Casper will be 198. And then they'll still be 7 and 6.
So. Okay. But exciting about this, the groundbreaking for the Cleveland Temple announced.
It's happening June 1st. A lot of people, with the discussions about purchase of the Kirtland Temple, a lot of people I heard speculating that maybe they'll build a temple nearby. And like, it's already been announced. Come on, yeah. People. But
it's within an hour. It's within an hour from the Cleveland Temple to the Kirtland Temple.
I think probably only half an hour.
Yeah, I mean, if it depends.
It's
on
it's in Independence, Ohio, just south of Cleveland. Vi Sikahema.
He's the Vi former Sikahema. News guy, former football player. Come on, Pharaoh.
Yeah, he'll be there to do the groundbreaking. But later that summer in August, he's being shipped off to South Africa, where he'll be in the area presidency. So interesting that they got him right before he left.
Well, so he, though it's not in the state of Ohio, although there may be some connection there, most of his professional career was just one state over in Pennsylvania. So I'm sure there's that connection. And that's why he was like, dibs, wait before I go. Let me do one more before I go, please. I get to do the Cleveland Temple groundbreaking. And then sites aplenty announced. Jeez.
Yeah, I got Tacloban, Philippines. There's a 7-acre site on the edge of town on a bypass road. So kind of way on the edge of town. It's going to be a 2-story at 21,000 square foot temple. Then we have Kananga, Democratic Republic of the Congo. This will be about a 1.5-acre site on the main highway. So everyone will know where this temple is. It's going to be a 1-story temple of about 11,000 square feet. This place is interesting because basically the church kind of grew out of obscurity. There was never even any assigned full-time missionaries to the city by the time they had a stake.
Wow.
So just during that time, it was just member missionary only. So it's a really interesting place.
That's incredible. But a fairly smaller temple, right? 11,000 square feet, one of the smallest that we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't know this about Tampa, Florida, that it was relocated.
Yeah, they announced a new site about a year ago. They announced that it was going to be built kind of behind a meeting house in Valrico, Florida. But instead, they've recently purchased a 12-acre site in Riverside, Florida, which is the neighboring city. The place is like a law school. It's this branch of the Cooley Law School. And I guess they're having financial difficulties, and so they're selling off some of their assets, so their Florida campus will be sold off. The church purchased it on November 29th for $20 million, $20.5 million. So I did talk to someone who's familiar a bit with this. He said there was kind of some disagreement about, should we build the temple behind the stake center, or should we just demolish the stake center, build the temple right there, and then build a new stake center behind it? And or the other option was to relocate the temple. And so they decided to relocate the temple. But I guess the church doesn't really like, at least the upper ups in the church doesn't really like this meeting house, because a while ago, a stake president built a kind of a large portico on the side of the building, basically to shield people from the rain. You could just drop them off. You see this a lot in the South. A lot of churches have this. Mm-hmm. But apparently it was kind of done without permission from higher ups. Mm. So a lot of people within the church building, I don't know, the church building services don't really like this meeting house. So they got it, I guess, the temple removed from this site. So kind of interesting.
It's worth going and looking at the pictures, because I was like, what in the world is he even talking about? Yeah, it's like it's essentially like a pavilion connected to your stake center.
And apparently it was just there for funerals, so you could drop off, the hearse could drop off the casket without being caught in the rain, I guess. Mm. So you don't see this in a lot of LDS chapels, so it's interesting.
No. It's worth also noting that neither Riverview, Florida or Valrico, Florida are Tampa, Florida, which is what the name of the temple is. Just, you know, worth noting.
Of course. Close enough, though. Come on.
Yeah, come on. West Jordan. We got one in West Jordan, and we know where it's going to be, about where most people thought it was.
Yeah, the church broke my story, because I knew this was going to be, I could have told you this a few weeks ago, but there's a 16-acre site that's just west of the Bacchus Highway, just about 7,000 south. I think Woodside Houghton's developing this area. If you look on the map right now, you see that there's like nothing right there where the mm-hmm. temple site will be. But I saw pictures from the Deseret News that showed that, no, they're putting down the streets and the sidewalks. They're starting to build homes. So yeah, this will be a new development. I guess no one will be there to complain about a new big building in their neighborhood. So, yeah, it'll be a three-story structure of about 85,000 square feet, which is very similar to the Lehi Temple, which has also had a site announced, be the same size. So these temples will probably be about, what we see, what's happening in Linden, Heber Valley, and Smithfield, Utah. We have probably about the same size as those temples.
And there was some speculation that the Lehi Temple might be closer to I-15, but it was actually a different location that it ended up going. Yeah.
No, I've been talking about the site on this podcast for more than a year, the site on Traverse Mountain that's north of the View Point Middle School. It's the DR Horton development, kind of around the Texas Instruments site. So I think everyone knew where this was going to be.
I was hoping for that field that's right next to I-15 as you come around Point of the Mountain. That's fine.
That's true. They like those high highway spots.
It's gonna be on the
map.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
If you're just driving north through Point of the Mountain, it's gonna be pretty visible.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. You'll still be able to see it just fine. No idea on groundbreaking for those. And then a new president and matron of new temples.
Yeah, we got new temples in Salvador, Brazil, and Auckland, New Zealand. Both of them come from the area, although the couple from Auckland was actually originally from Samoa. So yeah, those two temples are coming up towards completion. Like I said, I was thinking maybe Salvador might be the 200th temple. We'll see.
Okay, we'll see. I'm going to pick, what are my other options?
Honduras, Tallahassee, or maybe Desert Tooele.
I'm going to say Deseret Peaks. Let's do it. We're going to throw Tooele a bone. We're going to say nice. 200th out in, yeah, I'm sticking with it. I'll say it right now. 200 is Desert Peaks.
Sure. Okay.
We've got the Angel Moroni turning to the Salt Lake Temple.
All right, I told you, Slay Richie. I told you it would come back. You didn't believe me.
I know.
But yeah, they kind of had a ceremony amongst the construction workers. They, of course, they didn't tell the public about this because they would have all gathered to see it. The presiding bishopric was there alongside of with Emily Utt, talking about just the significance of the Angel Moroni.
But then where much is given, or, you know, the Lord giveth and then he taketh away. He put one on Salt Lake, and then Provo, it's nope, no more.
Provo, they took it off. They took off the whole steeple. They're getting ready to demolish the whole building. You can see that if you, there's kind of pictures trickling out on social media of the demolition happening. I have a surprise for you, Richie.
Yeah.
I got a new sweatshirt that has the Provo Temple as a spaceship. And someone told me this is actually a reference to Battlestar Galactica, or I think one of the Battlestar Galactica books. It says, "So long, thanks for all the faith." I guess there's a book called "So Long, Thanks for All the Fish." So it's a play on for that. But yeah,
and it's a Provo picture Temple of
spaceship.
Yeah, Provo Temple rocket ship
going away. So,
what a great
so long, Provo Temple. Yeah.
Good for you. And I know a lot of people sort of sad, sort of mourning the now that they've taken the steeple and it's going away. A lot of people going, well, this is a part of the community. They knew it was coming, but it is finally like feeling like it's going away. So,
and yeah, just also if this month they finished the demolition of the Stockholm, Sweden temple. So that old temple is nothing more. They're going to build a new one right on top of it. This one will look a lot more similar to the original, unlike the Provo Temple.
But, yeah, I like that. If you go to the Pharaoh's show notes, you can find where he says,
I added a link.
Sweden Temple, gone! okay, we got, man, we still have a ton of stuff that we need to get to, so let's go. Let's zip through these things. Okay. You ready for this?
Yeah, a couple of temples just had some kind of short closures. What's interesting is that the Richmond, Virginia Temple, which is only dedicated last year, they're having a small renovation to make some changes to the baptistry. I don't know quite the details of this, but I guess they just decided that it wasn't working like they designed it, so they're gonna change a few things. So it's gonna be closed for 3 months, as well as the Melbourne, Australia temple. They're gonna change some areas to the entry and the waiting area for the patrons. So yeah, those are short closures that they'll just open up when they're done.
If anyone knows anything more about that, I'd be curious, right? Like, is it maybe, oh, this thing was leaking, or, oh, we faced the door towards the west and the wind always comes in, or whatever the thing may be. I'd be curious about that. It's not without, our temples are not without protests in a couple places, and not where I thought they would be. Nevada is the first one.
Yeah, there's been podcasts dedicated to this, so you could spend hours talking about this. There's details about the law firm that the church hired and the council people that are voting to make this change. But I remember when this temple was announced, like maybe a year and a half ago, there was pictures from the neighbors that show that the church or someone had handed out to the neighbors kind of a notice. This was even before the temple was announced that, hey, this site is going to be a religious building that's going to be this tall, that's going to be lit at night. And so they were basically trying to get ahead of this opposition, being like, hey, if you move here, like, you should know this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. But of course, people have recently found out in higher numbers, and there's been a few protests. One person put a balloon about the same height that the spire will go, 216 feet, to kind of show people, hey, this is what the temple is going to look like. And I know it's really tall. So a lot of people are just concerned about that. They view their suburban Las Vegas neighborhood as rural, which it's Las Vegas.
Sure.
It's suburban. It's not rural. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
But they moved there, you know, 10 years ago when it felt rural, and they want to keep it that way. And so, I know that that's a concern that they have. So I don't want to make too much fun of that, but.
Well, but it is interesting on the other side of it with the church. Like, if we know that the height of our buildings is part of what people sort of reject, I think probably structurally or architecturally, it might look a little weird if we made them shorter and or squattier. But let me not speak for God, but let me imagine for God for just a second. I don't think for a second he's like, needed to be taller, guys. All the things that are done there, if you would have had the spire be a little taller, I would have paid attention. Like, that's foolishness.
Yeah.
So I
agree.
I mean, I don't know. I get it, though. They're beautiful, and it does look completely different if you didn't have it. And the symbolism, so maybe the symbolism is worth it. But
speaking about the symbolism, recently in McKinney, Texas, the church actually sent out a letter to members encouraging people to support the temple. And in one of the letters, it said that specifically talk about how the spire of the temple is important to you. So it's kind of interesting that the church is trying to encourage members to specifically talk about how much the height of the temple is important to them, even though we've seen other temples without spires that are shorter and everything. But I guess they're just trying to get ahead of that concern. The United States has pretty good religious protections that protect religious buildings from such zoning requirements. So the church has the upper hand, definitely. So we'll see what happens.
And now we get to the temples that were announced in General Conference. And so we've done a whole episode about it. I'm just going to let you roll either if you want to go through all of them or if you're like, oh, man, we got that pretty quick or we got that pretty well or blah, 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 blah. I'm just going to let you have free reign on this. But we probably got a couple minutes. We should get through that.
Yeah. I just went through and looked at kind of some of the temple districts, how many stakes will be in each one, kind of to see, you know, this is about how big the temple will be most likely. The one in French Polynesia is located in the Leeward Islands. That's the area where Bora Bora is. A lot of people go there for vacation. There's only going to be two stakes there, and the place is going to be built in kind of the biggest city there, but, you know, still kind of a small place. So it's really interesting to see the church paying attention to that area. We have the Chihuahua Mexico Temple. It's going to be about four stakes in a few districts, but it's the third temple in the state of Chihuahua. So this is the capital of Chihuahua. Currently, there is a temple in, the first one was in Colonial Juarez, which is one of the colonies that the church sent people when the pioneer persecutions were happening. President Hinckley built, I think, one of the first small temples there. And then one was later built on the border in Juarez. And so this will be the third one in Chihuahua. And so all three of these temples in Chihuahua also start with a C. You have Colonial Juarez, Ciudad Juarez, and Chihuahua. So that's interesting.
We three C's in Mexico are... I don't know. I got nothing.
You talked about Florianopolis. I think Chris mentioned this will be the first in that state of Santa Catarina. What he didn't mention is that this is the state where actually the church began in Brazil. So it's interesting that we're just finally getting a temple there. Rosario, Argentina, about nine stakes. But there are also temples to the north, and maybe Santa Fe will one day get a temple, maybe before even this one's dedicated. A lot of talk about Edinburgh, Scotland. There's five stakes in Scotland and two in Ireland. So although the church is small there, there's still, you know, for Europe, that's still a good size. There's just one ward in Edinburgh. So I think I predicted it would be built in Glasgow, but the mission is headquartered there in Edinburgh. So interesting that they chose that site.
But we don't have an actual site yet, right? We just know the city that was announced. So it'll likely be in a city that isn't that city.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's Edinburgh. If they announce it for that, I don't know. We'll see. Then we talked about, you talked about Brisbane, Australia. It already has a temple. So it'd be interesting to see where they built that. If they built it in the southern part of that city, or if they built it in Ishwich. Or maybe Gold Coast. So basically in the last 10 years since the temple has been dedicated, there's been a lot of growth actually in this area. It's, you know, you think about Australia, it's in the southern hemisphere, so the good weather's in the north. So a tropical environment, a lot of people have been moving from all over the country, and there's been a lot of immigration from the Pacific Islands. A lot of Samoans and Tongans have immigrated to Brisbane. And so obviously there are a lot of members of the church in that demographic. So and it's a small temple. So I think I've been predicting for a while that this might be one of the first areas that has two temples in Oceania. So,
and now it happened.
Now
we're there. Geez, we still got, I can't believe how many temples, right? So now we go Victoria. This one is one we talked about. This is saving people tons of money and tons of time because they don't have to travel as far.
Yeah. And by the way, if you look at these notes, I include the local coverage that a lot of these local news outlets have been paying attention to these things, including in Victoria. It's located on Vancouver Island. There's only two stakes there, so it's good to see that they get some attention, because they would either have to take a ferry to Vancouver, the city, or Seattle. Then there was Yuma, Arizona, which is, I think, the biggest surprise of all, really, was the least predicted, I think, because there's only one stake in Yuma. And just in December, there used to be a stake in El Centro, California, and they closed that stake because there was too few boards, and they combined it with a stake in California, or in San Diego. And so it's interesting to see that even though some parts of that area might be shrinking a little bit, they still are kind of far away from the nearest temple. What is interesting to me is that what confuses me is that why not build a temple in Mexicali? That's on the other side of the border from Yuma. There's three stakes in that area, which has been growing a bit more. They just announced that a mission will be built there. And it's a lot easier for Americans to cross into Mexico than it is for Mexicans to cross into United States. And so maybe a temple's still in the cards for Mexicali. But it's just really interesting that because you saw in the other temple that was recently built on the border in McAllen, there's also like four stakes on that side of the border in Mexico, but they didn't assign those stakes to the district because it's just too unfeasible to cross the border into Texas. And so
Well, the
I
church has a
guess
heads up on NAFTA, and we're just basically
have
going to
to.
make the entire North American continent America. So that's what's going on. Sorry. Sorry,
There we
sir,
go.
everybody.
Before that.
Mexico, you're going to be part of us, and Canada, you're going to be a part of us too. It's just going to be united North America. Sorry. We just have the heads up on it. It's a thing that
Nice.
the prophet Joseph talked about in
I'd
but you know
love
that
to see
there's
it.
probably people like that. I didn't know. Pause real quick. Did you know how many conspiracy theorists within the church and with this last eclipse? Did you follow all of that? That's insanity,
A
the
little bit,
things that
yeah. And
people.
because it passed over Kirtland and Palmyra,
Yes.
so.
And so the crazy came out. Sorry, I forgot that we hadn't talked about that anywhere else. Okay, go back to the temples. Here we go. Texas,
To
yeah, they get
Texas.
another one.
We talked about the South Temple. I talked about how Dallas has three already, so I was assuming it was a matter of time before Houston was going to get a second. It's just going to be interesting to see what city, whether it's just the southern part of Houston, or if it's like, I think it's Pearl City or Sugar Land. We'll just to see how they name that. So it'll be interesting. Des Moines, Iowa. There's about five stakes in the center of Iowa, which I think Iowa hasn't got a lot of attention because literally, Winter Quarters and Nauvoo are on both sides of the border of Iowa. So they've always been attending either of those temples. So it's cool to see another temple. Although Nauvoo is going to be put down to like two or three stakes. So Nauvoo is mostly going to be reliant on probably visitors to the city to both the staff and run that and to use that temple. Remember we talked about the three C's, the third temple, all three temples in the state being on the sea. The same is also true in Cincinnati. You have Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Columbus.
Yeah, over in
So
Ohio,
interesting to see that both Chihuahua and Ohio got their third temples, and they all start with C.
but we don't know where the Cincinnati is yet. You speculate that we do?
Actually, in that prediction episode, I talked about a site in Mason, Ohio, and Jenna Reese actually is a resident of Cincinnati, and she went to go visit that site even before the temple was announced to
But
just
it
check it
hasn't
out.
been announced yet, though, that
It
that's
hasn't been
the temple.
announced, but when the church buys 35 acres, you have to question what it's for.
It's it you don't know.
That's right.
It's for NAFTA. Okay. And then Hawaii, Honolulu, Hawaii.
Wait a second. I have to talk about this though. There was for a long time thought that Cincinnati was cursed.
Okay.
That they didn't have a temple for a long time because of a curse. When the saints lived in Kirtland, Joseph Smith sent missionaries out to Missouri, and they stopped in Cleveland. And I guess there's some people there that weren't that receptive to the gospel, and so there was a little bit of dusting of the feet. And I guess the people of Cincinnati, I guess, didn't the branch in Cincinnati didn't felt like they didn't have a lot of attention for a long time. So was that curse lifted?
Yes.
You can listen to former guest of the Culture Hall,
Garrett
Garrett
Dirkmont.
Dirkmont, talk about the history behind the church in Cincinnati. You can see if there's a curse or not.
Well, you know, Kirtland was cursed for a long time.
Was it?
I mean it.
Okay.
Yeah. When they left, they went, Pah-tia! And it wasn't until the late 70s when missionaries came back. They did not go into that area for a long time. And when they first came back, you didn't know this, but here you go. The way that they did work is the missionaries were only to go mailbox to mailbox in the Kirtland area and take down people's names because they weren't allowed to proselyte. Do you know this story?
You don't.
So then they would take down their names, and then people would be like, hey, pal, what are you doing taking down the name from my mailbox? And they'd say, well, thank you for engaging me in conversation so that I had the opportunity to be able to speak to you. And they would talk about, oh, did you know that you are a descendant of so-and-so who built the building up the road? And then they were able to do religious discussions that way. But for a long time, very long time, no work to be done in the Kirtland area because we were mad. And we got out. We said, forget it. We'll come back for you, Kirtland.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Because I know that, like, oh, never mind. Oh, that's nothing.
No, what? No, now I need to know.
Oh, I know that, like, the Smith's cousins, there was a rivalry between Joseph F. Smith and Joseph III. And I think Joseph F. Smith went to go visit Joseph III once. I think that was probably in Missouri or probably not Kirtland. But yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, now I want to know more about that. Pause on that. Let's get through the other temples and end this thing, and then we'll do a separate episode about cousins going to meet each other. Honolulu, any idea on where that temple is going to be? It's so busy on that part of the island.
I don't know, yeah. But it's interesting that basically the temple in Lai'e will now just before that north shore for the Biri Hawaii, the everyone that's up there. So I called it last. That was my prediction, so I called that one. I'll take credit.
There you go. Boast.
We already talked about West Jordan and Lehi, so that's pretty interesting. West Jordan was a surprise for me because I kept saying Harriman, but maybe Cottonwood Heights. So it'll be interesting to see if it's less likely or more likely that...
Harriman will be next.
You think so?
Yeah, 100%. Because there's so much growth still, and that West Jordan temple is on the 70th south. Like, you got to put something at like 140th south. Because going east to west in the southwest part of the Salt Lake Valley is the worst.
Yeah.
Even trying to get to the Ochre Mountain Temple is still not far enough west and south. So you put, you know, they've got a bunch of high density projects, blah, 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 blah. They'll put it Harriman, Rose Canyon, just like you said.
Yeah, that Juniper Crest Drive, that this, we talked about how President Hinckley announced there would be a site on the southwest part of the valley. I'm pretty sure it's a site in Harriman, and so I was really surprised that it wasn't announced for this site. But I guess it was more pressing to build it in West Jordan right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they got to get it in before people can complain.
Yeah. So we talked about Lehi. The last one, I have not seen like hardly any discussion about this, and I think it's surprising because President Nelson kept this announcement for last. If you notice how he grouped the announcements. You started in Polynesia, then you went to Latin America, then you went to Europe. This was in Latin America, but he didn't put it at the beginning, he put it at the last. So this is like his mic drop moment. Mm-hmm. A new temple in Venezuela, just like he did that in China, Dubai, Russia, Mongolia. He left it for the last announcement to kind of like, I haven't seen hardly any reaction to this. Mm. And it's really interesting because I have my temple prediction episode. I talked about like, this is my out of the box. This would be like the shocking announcement. And it's not really being discussed. And so
I wonder if
what's interesting is that we also talked about how there was no temple announced for the Caribbean area right now. Mm-hmm. And they just moved Venezuela to the Caribbean area. So now there'd be a temple announced there. Go ahead, say what you're going
to
say.
I'll be curious to see if this is a temple like Shanghai or Russia or some of these other ones because of all the government turmoil in Venezuela. I wonder if it's just like, we really intend to, fingers crossed, and we won't hear anything more about it for several years. Really? Like, it could just be like, hold on, you aren't forgotten.
I do wonder if that's true.
So, all right. Well,
that's interesting because Elder Anderson He was unable to visit Venezuela in 2022. So he actually brought over a group of local leaders to.
Oh, I think we lost him. So we are going. Oh, no, he's back. There we go. What is going on with you? What is happening right now?
I don't know. Okay, I think it's
The
better now.
internet is telling us we need to be done. Elder Anderson, not able to go to Venezuela. Go ahead.
So yeah, it'll be just interesting to see who dedicates this temple, because just 2 years ago, this apostle intended to visit, but he couldn't. And so we interested to so basically all the local leaders from Venezuela came to Colombia to listen to Elder Anderson. And so it'll be interesting to see who can dedicate this temple, if not even an American leader can get there. Luckily, we have Elder Suarez with a Brazilian passport, so maybe that will be easier for him to get there
Yeah,
eventually.
could be. You can go to the Cultural Hall on YouTube, where you can see the video of all of this. You can go to the show notes. You'll find those wherever you are listening to this particular show in podcast form. Be sure that you check it out. And if you like what we do, we would love it if you would tell other people about it. A lot of work goes into all of this. And so a huge shout out to Corey K. Ward, the Pharaoh himself. More temple and all that stuff to be coming soon, I'm sure. We're going to play you out. Are you ready for this? Okay.
Let's do
Well,
it.
we hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope that if you're able to make it this week, that you'll be able to make it next week.
And then when time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, Chris at Alpine Lakes Travel, Rick McGee, Debbie Wanless, Chocolate Cake Bites Podcast, and the Tiger with a U will be saving a seat for you
On the back row,
of the
the
cultural.
Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat, it's sure to be neat.